bit after 10:15 on December 9th, 2010. It was my brother's birthday yesterday, so I gave him a call and talked to him for a little while. It's going to be my half-birthday yesterday. I share half-birthdays, so that's good. So we share, anyway, one of our birthdays is the other one's half-birthday. Anyway, he's actually 9.5 years older than me, so he just turned 38. Cool. Anyway, actually wanted to talk about a new show on HBO. It's actually been out for a few months now, I believe, but I went ahead and watched the first episode, which was a show called Boardwalk Empire, and it is a show based on the life of the story, anyway, surrounding Snuggie Thompson, which I really don't know too much about him, but I know that he was a I believe he was the county treasurer for Atlantic City and whatever county around Atlantic City, anyway. And he also happened to get into the legging business when Prohibition hit. And I believe he also owned a casino. I've only seen the first episode, and I'm assuming what's going on in the episode is at least halfway factually correct. But anyway, very interesting show. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it if you have a chance to. Can be a little slow sometimes, I guess, depending on your interest in the show. I happen to be very interested in the show, so it wasn't too bad for me, but I could see if you're not really into it, might seem a little slow, but very interesting show because it gets into the very first episode, even starts out talking about Prohibition, and I will preface what I'm about to say by mentioning that, you know, I don't know how accurate all the information is on the show, as far as obviously his life in particular, but even the general things, you know, pertaining in the show about how people felt about Prohibition and all those things. I think, you know, growing up, going to school, especially if you go to a public school like I did, you kind of get limited information as far as what Prohibition was. You know, I remember going to school, it was always talked about where, you know, the U.S. government passed Prohibition in one amendment, and then a few years later they realized it didn't work, so they passed, you know, another amendment to repeal Prohibition. It's the only amendment that has been repealed. So it's interesting, though, when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of what Prohibition is, that you realize really what it was all about. And in this case, you know, it's funny because the show starts out, Snuggie Thompson, played by Steve Buscemi, he's talking in front of a group of these women who have a little league they've joined, or little group or whatever that they've joined. So they're basically there to try to, you know, at this point, by the beginning of the show, Congress has basically already passed Prohibition laws. It's just waiting to be enacted. And it just happened to hit at midnight. I don't know if it was New Year's or what, but sometime in 1920 or 1921. The show actually starts and says 1920. They have a countdown that looked like it was a New Year's countdown, but, you know, everybody blew whistles and it was actually beginning Prohibition. So perhaps it was New Year's in Prohibition or just, you know, certain time for Prohibition. I'd have to look into that. But the point of it, though, was all these people who you would think would be against Prohibition were all celebrating it. And, of course, the reason they were is because this particular person, Snuggie Thompson, knew that he was going to make loads of money bootlegging alcohol. You make something illegal, automatically jacks up the price of it. And he knew that, you know, he'd get 20 times as much for booze as he used to. Well, in the casino, of course, people want to drink there, and, you know, just in general, when you make something illegal, people are going to want to do it, and Snuggie realizes this, and so, of course, they make little jokes about how stupid politicians are and thank them for passing these laws and everything else, but the real point of it is Snuggie realizes that when they pass this prohibition, it's going to make millions of dollars, and that's what he's excited about, you know, celebrating in the beginning of the show. And like I said, I don't know how factually accurate the television show actually is as far as Prohibition and all that, but I do know a few things about Prohibition that obviously, like I said, when you make something illegal, it automatically jacks up the price of things. And then, of course, when you make something illegal, it makes it more dangerous. So, as it is currently in America, of course, alcohol is legal for anybody over the age of 21. So anybody who's turned 21, of course, they can go and drink alcohol as much as they want, you know, as long as they don't hurt anybody else, basically. They can drink whatever they want. And back in the 1920s, of course, it was demonized that alcohol and these other drugs were, you know, the devil, and, you know, there's definitely some truth, obviously, to some people not being able to hold their alcohol or some people drinking and driving and causing accidents. But that's a problem with the person in particular, not just drinking in general. And, of course, there would be religious zealots who would come out and talk about, you know, alcohol being the devil's brew and all of this sort of thing. So a lot of people I know pushed, of course, for prohibition. I'm sure many celebrated it, not for the fact that Nancy Thompson did because of the profits available, but because they actually thought, hey, this is a good thing. We're stopping people from drinking, and we're going to turn the society around and make them good people. Well, the problem is making alcohol illegal, as we found out, didn't turn people around and make them want to be better people. It made everybody go underground and get alcohol elsewhere. Used to be beer and wine more common back then, whereas hard alcohol was more, I wouldn't say rare, but it wasn't as popular. But when you made it alcohol illegal, of course, people didn't want to sit around drinking beer and wine. They wanted to get buzzed fast because, you know, every drink you take, basically, every ounce of alcohol you have is, you know, that much more dangerous that you might get caught with it. So hard alcohol really turned up in popularity because, of course, even then you can transport, you know, one sip of vodka and go and make 20 drinks with it, whereas if you transport a 5 gallon of beer, you know, you might serve 2 people with those drinks. So it's interesting to find out, you know, these little things that businesses did, of course, to try to get around the laws. And if I remember correctly, not from personal experience, of course, because I'm not that old, but if I remember correctly, there were exemptions to the prohibition, which included, you know, religious reasons. So if you went to church, for instance, and you had communion, you still had your communion wine. But then they would allow churches to have a certain amount, you know, depending on the size of the congregation. And I'm sure many churches take advantage of that. But, because that's the other thing, you know, you make alcohol illegal, all of a sudden, you know, it's, you know, goes from whatever the price was back then. I mean, I can only use current dollars to make it, you know, make it more appropriate. But, you know, in current dollars, it might be $20 for a bottle, whereas, you know, if prohibition hit again, it would be $200 a bottle or more. So, of course, if you're spending $200 on a bottle of alcohol, you know, you realize that, first of all, you can resell it, you'll do that, and if you can't, you definitely want to, you know, get all the bang for your dollar. So it's very interesting, though, when you think about this concept of making alcohol illegal just because it's, quote-unquote, the right thing to do. And you'll see what happens with prohibition is we pass the law, we tell everybody, hey, be good people. And really what it did is it just stirs up all this crime and all this bad stuff that really wasn't necessary. You know, I mean, here you're talking about, in the first episode, you know, there's a little back and forth about this business deal that they make to try to transport 500 crates of this alcohol. And, you know, the carriage that they're driving in ends up getting robbed or hijacked, whatever, and people end up getting shot and killed. And it's very interesting, too, because I know there was, in this particular episode, there was IRS agents that were going after some of the bad guys. And it's true. I remember the IRS went after Al Capone, you know, and arrested him for tax evasion so they could get him on. And he ended up going to prison for it. But apparently, you know, I believe his business was just as good or better when he was in prison, because this could just be rumors or hearsay, but you know, I've heard that he actually preferred it in prison because he knew he was safe in it. You know, the people that would hated him couldn't kill him or rob him or whatever because he was safe behind bars. So really what you're doing is you're having the taxpayer pay for somebody to, you know, basically have his own, you know, have his own free bodyguard, pretty much, you know. So anyway, really changes things up, though, you know, and you think when Prohibition passed, I'm sure a lot of people were excited, like I said, just for the fact that they think people are going to be better. And I think after a few years, and I know eventually, obviously, they repealed it, but you can imagine after a few years, people realize, hey, this is only getting worse, you know, it's not getting better, and people are going to want to drink alcohol, people are going to want to smoke cigarettes, people are going to want to do drugs, whether it's caffeine, alcohol, cigarettes, you know, some people want to do heroin or cocaine. There's going to be those people that want to do those drugs. And when you make something illegal, it doesn't stop people from doing those things, it just changes the way they get those things. So, for instance, if marijuana was legal, you know, you can go down to the store and buy it, like you could a pack of cigarettes and I can come home. If it's illegal, that means I got to go find some shady guy, hope that he gives me the good stuff, go home and smoke it and find out if it's any good. Of course, after a while, I would, never actually smoked marijuana, so I wouldn't even know what to look for. But, you know, after a while, you'll know what you're looking for. You'll find the right kind. You'll get the good stuff. But through the entire process, you know, you're still worried about, okay, is there a cop watching me? Is this guy a cop? You know, what's going on? So you just never know. And so what happens is when you prohibit these drugs, and alcohol in particular in this case, like I said, you're just making things illegal. You're just making it more dangerous. And you're making people do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. You know, in this case, you know, nobody's going to rob a cart of alcohol nowadays. Well, maybe a few people would, but people aren't going to rob, you know, cigarette manufacturers and, you know, a Marlboro truck driving down the road. But people would rob somebody who has a bunch of weed and has a bunch of cash. Because, you know, when somebody has weed, they have cash, they'll have possibly guns. You know, it makes things a little more dangerous, but a little more risk, a little more reward. So it's just interesting watching the show, though, because you realize back in the 1920s, people really thought this was a great idea. You know, and in hindsight, we look back on it and think, man, those guys are just crazy. You know, they thought that they could actually stop people from wanting alcohol. And, of course, nowadays we have just as many, if not more, percentage of people drinking alcohol, and it's legal. And it's a dangerous drug. I mean, really anything is dangerous if it's not in moderation. In the case of alcohol, of course, it's especially dangerous because, as we all know, you can get out, you can get drunk, or drive, hurt somebody. You know, husbands or wives get drunk, beat their spouses. You know, it is pretty nasty drug in that respect. But at the same time, we know we can't outlaw it. You cannot make it illegal. It's not going to pass this day and age. And I highly doubt that anybody is going to come forward and say, hey, we should do prohibition again, because, you know, it'll probably just be laughed. You know, laughed out of the council meeting. You know? But it does bring you up to the thought of other drugs that are currently legal and how we prohibited those for years and years. And I think a lot can be said the same way with alcohol, that, you know, it's just making these drugs more dangerous, just making the people who sell these drugs rich, and it's all coming at the expense of those who want to enjoy it. In the case of alcohol, I mean, I'm watching the show thinking, man, how crappy would that be? You know, I'm sitting at home right now drinking a glass of wine, and I'm free to do that, and the bottle of wine that I bought is literally $3, whereas even back in the 1920s, you'd probably be lucky to get a bottle for $3, you know, like they're current, you know, not including inflation and all that, but, or, anyway, not adjusting for inflation, I should say. They probably spend more than $3 on a bottle of wine back then. But here I can drink a glass of wine, which costs me, you know, the equivalent of maybe $1.50, $2, depending on how big my glass is. And, you know, I don't have to worry about the cops kicking in the door and saying, are you drinking alcohol, and hauling me off to jail? You know, but that's really how asinine it was, is that, you know, there's a fine line between what the government can do as far as passing laws and whether I can sit here and enjoy a drink of alcohol. And same thing with a cigarette. You know, I can go buy a pack of cigarettes if I want to. I don't happen to smoke, but I can sit here smoking a cigarette, drinking alcohol, watching TV, doing whatever I want, and the cops aren't going to kick in the door and arrest. But if cigarettes are suddenly illegal, then you have to ask yourself, you know, is this really going to stop people from wanting to smoke? No, it's going to make people want to smoke and drink, but do it underground and do things that are seedy that they wouldn't otherwise have to do. And I think the difficult thing with the war on drugs, especially, is marijuana in particular, because they classify marijuana as such a hardcore drug. They classify it as a class one narcotic, which means it's the most dangerous, it's the most harmful, and there's no medicinal purpose for it, which is to lie on every face. There is medicinal purposes for it that we found. It's not the most dangerous drug. You know, it's still up in the air. I've never smoked weed, but it's up in the air whether it's addictive. I can understand where, I don't think the drug itself might be addictive. I think the ability to smoke it, being with friends, just that feeling of getting high, I think that could be addictive. That could be psychologically addictive, but I don't think the drug itself is addictive. I've smoked cigars before, and, you know, I'm never craving for cigars. So I can understand it's the same way with weed. It could be wrong. I feel a little bit of a stronger feel towards it if I smoked marijuana and got high and said, oh, hey, that was fun. I should do that again. You know, I don't really get that with cigars. Usually with cigars, I smoke one. If I haven't eaten enough, I start feeling a little sick. Because there's a lot of tobacco in those. But I think because I'm like a cigar, of course, like, you know, the equivalent of smoking 20 cigarettes back to back or something. Depends on the size of the cigar, I guess, and the potency. But anyway, the point of it all is, though, is that that's how fine the line is. If tomorrow, you know, bureaucrats could pass a law that makes, you know, smoking cigarettes illegal or, you know, any number of things. And it's really asinine, the thought of sitting here enjoying a glass of wine one day and it's legal and the next day it's illegal. And that's exactly what prohibition is all about. You're sitting here watching the TV or watching that show, and you see people how they're all celebrating, you know, they're all hanging out, they're all drinking because it's the last night before Prohibition, and then like midnight, they actually celebrate, say, hey, happy Prohibition, or whatever, you know, they're treating it just like New Year's, and they start drinking alcohol again. It's ironic, of course, because it's all illegal, but like I said, the point is, alcohol was legal at one point, then illegal, then legal again. The same drink, it has the same effects on the body, same effects on the mind, but yet, due to bureaucracy, it was all of a sudden legal one day, illegal the next day, and legal another day. So, you have to really ask yourself, what's the point of all of this, you know? And I can understand with I can see the parallels with alcohol and all the other hard drugs that you have the best of intentions. When people say, hey, we need to make alcohol illegal because it's bad for you, it makes people less productive, it causes husbands to beat their wives, your wives to beat their husbands, usually, you know, husbands beating their wives, that's usually the case, that's usually the problem. But drinking and driving has all these dangers. You know, you can even go as far as saying, oh, well, it's not good for you, it's bad for your body, it's, you know, it makes you die sooner than otherwise. Empty calories, you really don't need it. You know, you can make the argument with a glass of wine a day is good for you, or one shot of alcohol is good for you a day, whatever. But the point is, yeah, there's plenty of ways you can say alcohol is bad for you and people shouldn't drink it. But we do live in the United States where people are free to do as they want. And so when they want alcohol, they should be able to get alcohol. That is a fundamental right as an American, and should be as a human being, but especially in America, where we focus on our rights, and we focus on, you know, this is what we believe, that everybody has rights, unalienable rights you cannot take away from them. And one of those is the right to liberty, to do whatever you want to do, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, you can do it. And if that means getting yourself tattooed, fine. If that means, you know, shaving all your hair off, fine. I mean, you know, you can argue all you want that people shouldn't get tattoos. It's bad for your body. It's bad for this and that, whatever. But to people are allowed to get a tattoo because that is a fundamental freedom that we are allowed to do whatever we want to do. So it sends out to other drugs too, though. You know, you see people that try to stop drinking, you know, alcohol because they think, hey, this is for the person's better. You know, I'm telling them not to drink this alcohol because it's not good for them. Okay, I understand. But the point is, you don't have the right to tell somebody else what they can or cannot do as long as they're not hurting somebody else. If they want to drink alcohol, they should be able to drink alcohol. If they want to smoke weed and sit in their house and look up at the ceiling and giggle, that's what they have the right to do. They should have the right to do. The government, of course, is taking that away in America because they demonized marijuana in particular and made it out to this horrible, horrible thing, which I've known people that smoke marijuana. It's not a horrible thing. You know, the government will demonize it and act like, oh, if you smoke marijuana, it's the end of the world, and it's not. You know, and when you realize this, usually it's after you get out of high school because you see all this stuff in middle school and sometimes even in elementary, but especially in high school. When you finally get out of high school, you finally wake up and it clicks in your brain and says, you know what, it's really not that bad. And, of course, some people figure it out in high school, but it's really not that bad. You know, life does go on. And, you know, you can argue all you want that heroin is bad, cocaine is bad. All these things are horrible drugs, and there's really no good purpose for them. I mean, other than getting high and being stupid or whatever. And there is a lot of potential for bad, you know, side effects for these drugs. But it is nobody's business but the person who decides to use it. And if they do use it and they become addicted, just like alcohol or cigarettes or any other drug, they're addicted and they need help, then they need help. They don't need to be locked up in jail. They don't need to be, you know, treated like scum. They need to say, look, you have a problem, you know. Like when you watch those rehab shows on TV, like, look, you have a problem. You need to go to rehab. You need to clean yourself up. You need to realize, why do you do these drugs? You do these drugs because you feel some emptiness in your heart for something else. Or maybe you didn't have a father growing up. Or maybe your parents beat you. Or, you know, maybe you never felt good enough in life or whatever. There's always a reason that somebody relies on drugs or, you know, whether it's drugs or sex or rock and roll, or whether, you know, no matter what it is, whatever you're addicted to, there's a reason behind it. And that's what we need to figure out is the reason people are addicted to these things. The reason people want heroin and crack and all these things. And you need to get to the heart of the problem, which is a social problem. As in, you know, you need social help, you know, like a social worker, you need, you know, somebody who's willing to sit down with you and talk to you about it. You don't need to be thrown in jail, and which is also, you know, fundamentally wrong, because what you're doing is you're taking my money, and you're giving it to a policeman to arrest this person, which I don't believe he should, and then they also take more of my money, and they pay for this person who has a, whether it be alcohol or marijuana or crack problem, and they throw them in jail. They're taking my money to pay for him to be in jail, and all the while, he's taking more and more money. Of course, it's not just me. I mean, me and the people. Take the people's money, spend it on these things, and meanwhile, you're not helping anybody. The only people you're helping are the policemen who have a job, and the people who run the jails, and the people who feed people in jail, and the people who run, you know, you're helping the whole system go that way, but you're not actually helping, you're not getting to the root of the problem to actually stop the people from going back to drugs. And of course, you take somebody off the street who, you know, might have a drug problem, and then you put them into a jail cell with other people who have either drug problems or who are murderers or rapists or thieves. All of a sudden, they get to talking. So now this guy goes in there for a drug problem. He's coming out thinking, okay, I'm an ex-con. I'm not going to get a job because I've got to learn how to steal some stuff. I've got to learn how to rob people or, you know, kill people or whatever. You know? Now you've just messed up his life. And on top of it, he has direct information from the worst of the worst criminals who are in prison. That's a big, ugly mess. And it all stems on the fact that people think, hey, I know what's best for everybody. People just need to stop doing these drugs. And okay, fine, you can believe that, but you cannot make people stop what they don't want to stop. somebody wants to drink alcohol, they're going to drink alcohol whether it's legal or not. If somebody wants to smoke marijuana, they're going to smoke whether it's legal or not. Making these things illegal is not going to stop the behavior. It just changes it. And that's the biggest problem. People aren't stopping these activities. They're just becoming illegal. And that just means violence and large sums of money being exchanged. And it just makes everything seedy and disgusting and worse. It doesn't make it better, it makes it worse. So we need to strike at the root of the problem. We need people to realize that this prohibition does not work. You cannot just tell somebody you can't do this and expect them to say, okay, you're right, you know, I'm wisened up, I'm not going to do it anymore. No. You need education, and you need people to understand, hey, if you have a problem, you need help, you don't need force of law, you need social workers, you need psychiatrists, psychologists to help you back on your feet. But ultimately, people have to want to be back on their feet. If people don't want to be sick, they're not going to fix themselves. The only way you can do it, get to the heart of it. And like I said, if we have a society where people are smoking marijuana and crack and heroin and doing all those things, it's not the end of the world. You know, there's going to be some scumbags just like there are right now, people who drink alcohol all day long and have no life. Fine, there's going to be people like that. But then there's also going to be people who, like me, have a glass or two a night, enjoy watching TV. You know, people who have a cigarette or two. Cigarettes are a little bit different. Usually people don't have a couple of those. But especially with alcohol, have a glass each night, no big deal. And there's people that smoke weed, no big deal. You know, I'm sure I work with people that smoke weed. I don't even know. You know, I can almost guarantee it. I can almost guarantee that there's people I work with that smoke weed that I have no idea. And there's people that I work with that probably have a drink or two of alcohol each night, and I have no idea. That's the point. Most people that do these things, they aren't addicts. They aren't bad people. They're functioning just fine in society. But because certain people, hey, what they do is illegal. Or because of certain laws, oh, they have to do not illegal if it's alcohol. It just makes no sense. So we need to stop.